You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Bellville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Bellville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, June 25th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Please forgive me, I've got a bit of a cold. A rhinovirus, whatever the hell it is, it's got me all stuffed up, affecting my voice a little bit, so I'll do the best I can. Great day to be in Portland, Oregon. The temperature is climbing. It's going to get into the 90s today. By Saturday, they say 103 degrees. We're kind of looking forward to that. That's a little hot, but nice to have some sunshine up here in the Pacific Northwest. All sorts of good news coming out of Portland, Oregon. This very important bill just got through committee that would open up our medical marijuana dispensaries to recreational customers starting on October 1st. That would be amazing news if we can get that passed. Also, I've been talking with Madeline Martinez, the proprietor of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. She's letting me know that they are soon to reopen the third iteration of the Cannabis Cafe. Cannabis Cafe 3.0 should be open very shortly, and we'll definitely do a show from the Cannabis Cafe. Also, Portland Police Bureau today released a visual aid on possessing marijuana. If you check out my Pinterest account, pinterest.com/radicalruss, or if you follow me at Radical Russ on Twitter, I tweeted it out as well. But they issued a visual aid as to how much marijuana is legal. An ounce is legal on a person, and 8 ounces is legal in a household. And they, for visual guidance, they have a pile of weed, an ounce of weed, and then one of those measuring tapes, right? Those metal stick measuring tapes next to the pile of weed. And next to the pile of weed is a voodoo donut. One of the voodoo donuts to compare how much weed is legal. So an ounce is about the size of the voodoo donut. Now, they didn't make a comparison for the 8 ounces that are legal in the household versus the voodoo donut cock and balls, which is about what 8 ounces would be. Delicious donut. You should try one. Also, let's get to the show here. Coming up on the show today, we have a visit from the California Senate candidate I met. His name is Palmer Kane, and met him at the Cannabis Cup. He's interested in running for the California State Senate, so I thought we would talk to him about what's happening and what his goals are for marijuana regulation should he become a California State Senator. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and the Office of National Drug Control Policy all funded a study to compare the effect of alcohol on driving versus the effect of marijuana on driving. I know, you're on the edge of your seats trying to figure out which one of those is worse on the roads, aren't you? Just can't wait for the data on that one. Also coming up on the show today, in Reefer Madness Debunked, we go behind the headlines at the UK's Daily Mail, or as Cannabis Cure UK used to call it, the Daily Fail, which proclaims that medical marijuana does not work. I know you patients out there listening, you thought it was working. You're wrong, according to the UK newspaper. And then at the end of the show today, time for a radical rant. I'm going to go off on why legalization always trumps prohibition. And an hour or two more highlights from the Cannabis Cup in Northern California. That's all coming up on the Russ Bellville Show today. Stay tuned. We got 2 hours of news, interviews, music, and fun coming up.
You're tuned into the Russ Bellville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Funky Roller Room.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring.
Ooh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Four20 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 25th, 2015. Oregonians over the age of 21 would be allowed to purchase recreational marijuana at existing medical marijuana dispensaries starting October 1st under a bill approved this morning by a key legislative committee. Recreational users would be limited to buying 1/4 ounce of dried marijuana and 4 immature plants from dispensaries under Senate Bill 460. They couldn't purchase marijuana-infused oils or edible products. Until the state is able to get the new sales taxation system up and running, recreational sales will remain untaxed. The question of when to start recreational sales was one of the last decisions before the Joint House and Senate Committee tasked with implementing Measure 91, the legalization initiative passed by voters last November. Several lawmakers on the Joint Committee expressed disappointment this morning that they weren't able to start sales on July 1st or shortly thereafter, but an October 1st start was more palatable to the rest of the legislature, they said. A police officer has been killed and 2 others seriously wounded during a shootout in an Albanian village known as a cannabis kingdom for its industrial-scale production of marijuana. More than 400 policemen, supported by army helicopters, have surrounded the village of Lazarat in southern Albania, where an armed group has entrenched itself and has yet to surrender, police said in a statement. Vancouver, British Columbia City Council has voted to regulate the city's many marijuana shops, becoming the first Canadian city to take that step. Marijuana is illegal in Canada, but access to medical marijuana is not for those with a prescription. That allows Vancouver's many pot shops to offer weed in a pseudo-medical manner, often with naturopaths on the premises available for consultation. Municipal authorities in Vancouver will now impose zoning controls and license fees in a bid to get a handle on the trade. The city's police force is also tolerant, claiming the cracking down on the stores has not been a priority. Canada's conservative government has voiced its displeasure, however. Federal Health Minister Rona Ambrose has ordered the council to vote down the policy and the police to enforce the law. California Secretary of State Alex Padilla announced that the proponents of a new initiative may begin collecting petition signatures. The Medical Marijuana Initiative constitutional amendment will ban state and local laws that restrict patients' ability to obtain, cultivate, or transport medical marijuana, including concentrated cannabis, in any way that does not apply equally to other plants. It also bars state and local laws that create a non-competitive market for medical marijuana and broadens the definition of marijuana under state law to include all parts of and anything made from the marijuana plant. The initiative also bars state and local laws that restrict doctors' ability to recommend marijuana to patients in any way that does not apply equally to herbal or therapeutic treatments. The proponents must collect over 585,000 signatures by December 16, 2015 to make the November 2016 ballot. An estimated 100,000 marijuana plants are expected to be eradicated this week at an enormous multi-farm bust in remote Northern California. Humboldt, Trinity, and Mendocino County Sheriff's deputies, with no federal involvement, began serving search warrants Monday in a remote area at the intersection of the three counties. The raid targeted some very prominent members of the community, including public members of lobbying groups and marijuana PACs like the California Cannabis Voice. Humboldt County Sheriff Lieutenant Wayne Hansen told local radio station KMUD Wednesday that at least 15,300 plants had been eradicated so far in at least four search warrants, with more warrants coming. The operation will continue until at least today. Pro-marijuana group Responsible Ohio has drafted a law that would allow Ohioans convicted of certain marijuana crimes to expunge their records if the group's marijuana legalization proposal is approved by voters this fall. The proposed initiated statute would allow Ohioans who were convicted of a marijuana offense to have their records expunged. On Wednesday, the group submitted language to the Ohio Attorney General for approval. Responsible Ohio plans to propose legalizing marijuana for personal and medical use through a constitutional amendment on this November's ballot. The expungement issue could come next year. The group's Fresh Start Act would first go before state lawmakers. If lawmakers vote it down or do not act within 4 months, Ohio voters would then vote on the law. Even if approved by voters, lawmakers could still change or repeal the language in the state law. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 25th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Four20 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
All right, for Reefer Madness Debunked, we're kind of doing a behind the headlines Reefer Madness Debunked, because today the headline from the DailyMail.com in the UK is medicinal cannabis doesn't ease pain, nausea, vomiting, multiple sclerosis muscle contractions, sleep disorders, or Tourette's, study finds. And they actually, all caps, doesn't. Medical cannabis doesn't ease pain, nausea, vomiting, spasms, sleep disorders, or Tourette's. So that's pretty strong language, right? It doesn't ease pain. And that's the headline going across the Daily Mail. until you start digging a little deeper. In fact, you don't even have to dig that deeply to find a direct contradiction to their headline. The first line, they've got these little subhead bullet points, reads, University of Bristol scientists reviewed evidence from 79 different trials. We'll get to that in a second. Second line, found moderate quality evidence cannabinoids ease chronic pain. Wait, big, bold headline, medical cannabis doesn't ease pain. That's the first line of the headline. Medical cannabis doesn't ease pain. Second bullet point, moderate quality evidence cannabinoids ease chronic pain. Daily Mail, I don't even have to go into the story yet to find you don't even have internal logic in your headline. You're not even, you've completely mischaracterized what this report found. This report actually found that when it came to all of the things that medical marijuana is recommended for, pain is the thing we've got the most evidence for, especially neuropathic pain. Strong, gold standard, placebo-controlled, double-blind trials have shown very good evidence that marijuana reduces chronic pain. And it's ironic because in the medical marijuana states, the thing our opponents always like to say is, oh, everybody's just getting it for pain. You know, scare quotes, pain. They're just faking their pain. And yet we've got the most evidence for pain among any other condition is what cannabis can help. Now, the study itself, the first line they've got in their first paragraph, there's very little evidence to suggest cannabis can help ease the symptoms of a raft of illnesses, scientists have said. But what this was, and they don't even understand the language they're using, because they say this new study in which scientists assessed the findings of 79 randomized trials, including around 6,500 volunteers, found the evidence supporting the use of medical cannabis is weak. Well, first of all, that's not a study. That's a meta-analysis. A study is when you have a hypothesis and you perform experiments and you gather data and you come to a conclusion. That's a study. This is a meta-analysis, which means they take old studies and they run some number crunching on them to figure out what all these studies together are telling them. And we'll be the first ones to let you know there are a dearth of good studies on some of the latest applications of medical cannabis. Not a whole lot of people were pumping their kids full of CBDs when they had Dravet syndrome until around 2009, 2010, 2011. So yeah, there's not a whole lot of studies on that. On the nausea, the vomiting, any of these other things they're putting forth, all of that they're showing us is that we don't have enough evidence. And why do we not have enough evidence? Because marijuana is a Schedule I drug and we're not allowed to study it. And it's controlled, the research marijuana in the United States is controlled through one single monopoly, the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, and they rarely greenlight any studies that purport to show what the benefits of cannabis are. Their whole job is National Institute of Drug Abuse. It's right there in their name. They fund the studies that show how bad marijuana is. So when you do a meta-analysis of old and very lacking data, you're going to find that you don't have a lot of information there to go on. What I think we ought to be looking at and where a study could be useful is to take a look at the people in the 24 states that are using medical marijuana, survey them. Let's find out if they think it's working for them. Let's ask their doctors how their conditions have improved. You know, there's all sorts of games you can play with studies and figures and statistics. But when you've seen the healing power of medical marijuana with your own damn eyes, when you've seen a child stop seizing, when you've seen a multiple sclerosis patient stop shaking and trembling enough to be able to write her name, when you've seen someone with chronic pain, you see that pain melt away in their very first puff of medical cannabis? You can throw all the studies you want at me. You can do all the meta-analyses you like. I'm believing my own damn eyes on this one.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Well, it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado, 3:20 here on the Pacific Coast. Time to take a break. I'm going to imbibe some cold medications that have far worse side effects than marijuana. Oh my goodness. When we come back, we've got drug war data mining coming up. A study on which is worse when you get behind the wheel, alcohol or marijuana. I know, you just can't wait to find out, can you?
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it like that.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Today in the Drug War Data Mine, we turn to a study that was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, that's NIDA, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, that's the Drug Czar's Office, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the new study has concluded that alcohol has a more extreme impact on drivers than marijuana. Researchers said alcohol, quote, significantly increased lane departures, minimum and maximum lateral accelerations, and these measures were not sensitive to cannabis, end quote. Researchers also concluded cannabis-influenced drivers, quote, may attempt to drive more cautiously to compensate for impairing effects, whereas alcohol-influenced drivers often underestimate their impairment and take more risk, end quote. National Institute of Drug Abuse said this is, quote, the most sophisticated driving simulator of its kind to mirror real-life situations, end quote. Well, folks, this is some of that no-shit Sherlock level of study, something we've known for years and years and years. And the effect is, it comes down to the old joke, right? In humor, there is often a kernel of truth. And the old joke is, the difference between a drunk driver and a stone driver is that a drunk driver will run the stop sign. The stone driver will sit there and wait for it to turn green, right? That's the joke, right? But it's based in a kernel of truth, and that is Alcohol impairs both your reactions and your judgment. It impacts you physically and it impacts you mentally. While it makes you physically less able to drive, it makes you mentally think you're more able to drive. That old liquid courage. And we've all had the situation of trying to wrestle the car keys out of one of our drunk friend's hands. I'm fine to drive. I can drive, you know. You've had that experience. By comparison, the marijuana drivers are less impaired, less physically impaired when they get impaired, but think they're more impaired than they actually are. It's the opposite of alcohol. Causes less impairment, but more caution. And that's why marijuana-using drivers will often hand over the keys or just not drive. Even in these simulator situations, they'll tell the researchers, man, I'm too high to drive. Now, the study consisted of 19 adults, 13 men in that, and most of them consumed cannabis more than twice a month, but less than three times a week. So you got your occasional cannabis consumer. So we're talking about people that don't smoke all the time and thereby build up that tolerance. So these are actually the ones who would be more impaired that we're comparing here than if you put me behind the wheel when I smoke marijuana every day and have developed quite a tolerance. Now, they did a 45-minute driving session in the driving simulator. And they focused on how many times the car left the lane, how many times it weaved in the lane, and what's the speed of the car. And it's all very realistic. According to the researchers, quote, drivers experience acceleration, braking, steering cues, road conditions like gravel, and realistic sounds. And, quote, alcohol, but not marijuana, increased the number of times the car actually left the lane and the speed of the weaving, end quote. Now, another thing that's kind of interesting as we look at this is that when they gave the test subjects alcohol, the participants drank alcohol to reach approximately 0.065 blood alcohol. 0.065, under the legal limit, under the 0.08 limit. So we're taking the more likely to be impaired marijuana consumers and the alcohol consumer is less likely to be impaired because they're below the legal limit. And we're still crushing them in our ability to drive. So the conclusions from this, they did say marijuana had a less dramatic effect, but it does impair one measure of driving performance, and that was peripheral vision. Said drivers on marijuana tended to have more tunnel vision. Now, the marijuana that they were given to, the level they were given was up to 13.1 nanograms per milliliter. So 13 nanograms is 2.5 times what the legal limit is set in Washington and Colorado. And still these people are driving better than people at a 0.065 alcohol level. Now, he said the folks that were up to 13 nanograms were weaving in their lane similar to people at a 0.08 blood alcohol. And they also said mixing marijuana and alcohol enhanced the effect on both. So the drivers using both substances, even if they were both below impairment, combining the two made them more impaired. Now, the researchers concluded, and remember, this is a study funded by NIDA, the Drug Czar, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, concluded, quote, THC concentrations drop rapidly during the time required to collect a blood specimen in the U.S., generally within 2 to 4 hours. Saliva tests can be done without a long wait, but they may not be a precise measurement of the level of impairment. The concern is that having a level will unfairly target individuals not acutely intoxicated because residual THC can be detected in blood for up to a month in chronic tokers.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Joining us today for Government at Work, we have a California State Senate candidate. His name is Palmer Kane. Palmer, welcome to the show. Hello, Palmer?
Yes, this is Palmer Kane.
Yes, thank you for being here. Russ Belville here at 420 Radio. How are you today?
Doing well, Russ. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes, glad to have you here on the show. We got to meet at the Cannabis Cup just this last week, and you discussed your want to be in the California Senate. And first, let's get the details out of the way. Which district, where are you at, where are you running from?
Of course. So I call home Aptos, California, which is in Santa Cruz County. It's on the Central Coast. And the State Senate District is State Senate District 17. So that encompasses Santa Cruz County, Monterey County, Santa Clara County, and all of San Luis Obispo County. And in 2014, I ran for the State Assembly, representing the same area, and had the good fortune to have roughly 40,000 citizens vote for me. So I want to continue that traction in 2016 by running for the State Senate to represent California.
Fantastic. Now, that State Senate district, who is currently serving in that district? And
The current State Senator is State Senator Bill Monning. He is the Senate Majority Leader, and he's also a proponent of the recent vaccination bill that I'm sure we've all heard about.
This is the one that would forbid parents in California from using religious or personal exemptions for vaccines. Is that correct?
That's correct. Basically, it would strip parents of their rights and force them to inoculate their children based on the full schedule of which is at this current stage 63 different vaccinations within a calendar year.
Wow. Now, you mentioned the seat you're running for is currently held by the Senate Majority Leader. That suggests to me he's a Democrat. Are you running in the Democratic primary? Or are you running as a Republican? How does that work?
No, I am. I have been and will continue to be a Republican because I believe in limited government. I believe in the power of the people over the power of our government. And the people have forgotten, Russ, that they are the power in this country. And I intend to remind them of that.
Yeah, excellent news. Now, this is good. This is great from a political standpoint because meeting you at a Cannabis Cup and hearing that you're a Republican gives me hope that can get more Republicans on board with an issue that I think, the marijuana issue, that I think is such a naturally conservative issue. What are your thoughts on that issue?
Well, personally, I see this issue as threefold. One, it's a private property issue. It's a personal liberty issue. And it is also a veterans issue. Personal liberty from the standpoint of choice. you should have the choice between a pharmaceutical or a traditional medicine format through your provider. It is a property rights issue from the standpoint of the state of California is actively denying property rights, their rights under the law in relation to what they do on their land. And in relation to veterans issues, veterans have done what our country has asked of us without question. And we come home and we do not have access to the medicine that we need to treat our issues because not everyone wants a pharmaceutical answer to their problems. So for me, this is an access issue, Russ, pure and simple.
Fantastic. I that's great to hear from you as a candidate for state Senate. And Palmer Kane, if you had your way in the California Senate and could get it through the assembly as well, what sort of legislative mm-hmm. fixes would you like to put in for medical marijuana or even recreational marijuana?
Well, I believe the proposition that will be on the ballot in 2016 is a good step in the right direction. I think that whatever the state and the voters agree on as the foundation for this going forward is what should happen. And what I mean by that is if we look at alcohol or tobacco or chewing tobacco and the regulations that are placed upon that currently, there needs to be some level of governmental control in relation to the production, use, and dispensing of the medicine. But if it is a medical cannabis side of the house, then they should not be taxed. If it's a recreational, yes, because it's the same thing as a public good in the public arena. So that's the demarcation line in my mind politically.
All right. We're speaking with Palmer Kane. He is a candidate for the California State Senate. And Palmer, if folks want to get more information on you, you got a candidate website or Facebook, anything you want to give out?
Yes, most definitely. They can reach me on my website. It's Palmer Kane. I'll spell that out for you. PalmerKain .org is my website. I do also have a personal and a public Facebook page also under the same name, Palmer Kane. And what I am trying to do is I'm trying to listen to the citizens, their issues, turn around and make it practical and real legislation. Russ, I have experience on the international and the national level politically from an international affairs standpoint and a conflict resolution standpoint. So what I am looking to do is bring those three things together in the addressing of the citizens' issues in Sacramento. I've led at the local level as a policymaker. I've led overseas in relation to peace negotiations of other countries. And now I want to bring that back home, and I want to serve the people of California. I'm not here to govern. I'm here to serve.
Excellent.
And the basis of that, Russ, is that citizens' participation. The founding fathers knew that our brand of democracy only works if the citizens are engaged. Currently, only 30% of our country votes in any given election. I'm sorry, in any given presidential election. And so what I am trying to do, the main focus of my campaign, is to get the citizens engaged, to activate them, to make them part of the political process again. And I'm a pretty unorthodox kind of guy. I don't care where they come from, because they're all citizens of our great state. So I would encourage your listeners to check me out, like me on Facebook, take control, raise Kane, and make a difference.
All right. Palmer Kane on the line with us here for our Government at Work segment. And I got to tell you, Palmer, when I was driving home from San Francisco, got to go mm-hmm. up I-5, up through Northern California, and I crossed over, and I don't know which reservoir it is, but man, you guys are just running out of water. And then I read something in the Washington Post about the rich folks in Rancho Santa Fe saying, we're not equal when it comes to water. By God, we're rich. We can pay for it. We should have all the water we want. How would you mm-hmm. approach a situation like the California drought and the attitude of some of these people that they just are free to waste water?
Well, unfortunately, the aqueduct that was built under Pat Brown, has supplied Southern California with all the water it's needed for a very long time. And, that resource is drying up, literally. My time in the Middle East, I lived in the Middle East for 3 years. And, one thing that I saw was these people living in the desert have figured out a way through desalinization and proper water supply usage to fix their water issues. And that is why I am a proponent of desalinization, but not the traditional form where you would build a plant on land. I am a proponent of mobile desalinization, which was created during the Vietnam conflict. The United States military needed water for our troops, and so what they did was they converted old tanker vessels into mobile desal platforms and piped the clean water to shore. And I suggest, and I'm a proponent of, something similar for the state of California. You know, out of all the western states, Russ, California does have the largest supply of water left at our current rates of consumption. But if that changes in any way, shape, or form, we're going to end up like the rest of the western states with 6 months to a year's worth of water left. And please, let's not forget that we provide the nation with 70% of its produce. So if we run out of water, the nation suffers. It's not just us. Yeah, so we need an effective solution. And unfortunately, our leaders in the state government have not, they've been sitting on their hands, Russ. And I'm going to call them on it.
Good for you. All right. Palmer Kane speaking to us from California. He is a California State Senate candidate. And as you move forward into the campaign, this is November 2016 will be the vote. What are your plans during the campaign to get your message out to people? Where can people find you out on the campaign trail to be able to talk to you face to face?
Most definitely. Well, I will be running a full four-county campaign. I will be in all the counties that I listed. I think that the easiest access point would be get a hold of us electronically through either the website or through Facebook to allow or by I will also be door knocking. You know, the last campaign I personally knocked on 10,000 doors in three counties. I want to set the personal goal for myself for this campaign of 40,000 doors in four counties. So I need your help. I need your financial donations. If you can't donate your money, donate your time. Come down and help us. Help us win. Help us change California, because this is my home, Russ, and it's been my home all my life, and I don't want to see it go down the drain. You know, when I was younger, California was the world's fourth largest economy, and we are now eighth in the world. And there is a direct correlation between government regulation and where we're at financially, and that is why I am running. To serve the people, and one board at a time, one issue at a time. And so I would encourage your listeners, please come help us change California, because as the old saying goes, as goes California, so goes the nation.
Yes, and let's get that legalization passed in 2016, and hopefully the rest of the nation will follow. We've been speaking with Palmer Kane, a California State Senate candidate, and we're getting some reaction from our live chat room. They say it's nice to hear a Republican who gets what it really means to be a conservative, and you sound too level-headed to be a successful politician. That's a kind of a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
to that comment of being too level-headed for a politician, I have spent my life in the service of my country. When I was in high school, I started volunteering on political campaigns. 13 campaigns later, after my service with the United States Army overseas, I came home and was asked to run. And so I've done that, and I will continue to do that, Russ, because we need veterans. We need good, solid thinking people in government. I have the governmental knowledge. I understand how to make legislation. I understand what it means to sit in a room and compromise, because the reality of the fact is no one gets 100% of what they want, but the ability to get a portion of what they need to serve their citizens is the point, and that is what I am all about.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a Rolling Stones song. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you find you get what you need. Palmer Kane, thanks for joining us here on the show. Encourage people to check out your website and your campaign. It's always good to hear from voices on the left and the right when it comes to marijuana legalization. Seems like more of us are beginning to agree on that. Palmer, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much, Russ. I look forward to being back on your program, and thank you very much to the wonderful listeners of Portland.
All right.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Stay tuned, folks. We got more coming up. The Radical Rant is next. Legalization always trumps prohibition. I'll give you a case study on why I'm right. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We're back right after these messages.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger flipping, public school educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
Yes, the Radical Rant is coming up next. Legalization always trumps prohibition. We're excited about legalization here in Portland, Oregon, happening in just 6 days. Midnight, July 1st, I'll be up on the Burnside Bridge taking my picture below the Portland, Oregon sign as prohibition ends in the Beaver State. I'll also be on Who's the Ross at Dante's 10 p.m. Tuesday night leading up to it. We'll see if we can get that recorded for a replay here on 420 Radio.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Legalization always trumps prohibition. When someone who allegedly supports marijuana legalization starts telling you how much worse off cannabis consumers will be if the legalization they don't like wins the election, don't believe the hype. You can trust me, folks. I've got some background on this. I've been covering marijuana politics since 2005. I was at the headquarters of Prop 19 when it lost in 2010. I was at the headquarters of I-502 in 2012 when it won. I was at the headquarters of Oregon's Measure 91 when it won. And the predictions other people made about what would happen if those things passed, and the predictions I made about what would happen if those things didn't pass, have all come true. I'm pretty much perfect in this regard. Back with Prop 19 in 2010, I had the naysayers telling me that a 5x5 garden was far too small, and that there would be a monopoly in Oakland. It would all just be so all the greedy growers in Northern California, in Oakland, would all get rich. It would all be a cartel of growers getting rich, and we're left with our measly 5x5 gardens. And I told people, legalization trumps prohibition. Vote for this thing. Get it legal. Once it's legal, anything's possible. Once it's legal, you can make all sorts of changes. But until it's legal, you're a bunch of pothead criminals fighting for the right to get high. Once it's legal, you're taxpaying voting consumers that are an economic bloc fighting for greater recognition and rights. And I warned them. I said, you got to vote for Prop 19, man. Chances to vote on legalization don't come around every time. The last time before 2010 that California voted on legalization was 1972. And it was also called Prop 19. And they said, no, Russ, no. We can pass on this Prop 19. We can let this thing go. We can do better. California can do better legalization. We can have better legalization in 2012. And I told them, you don't vote in 2010. You don't pass this in 2010. You're not likely to get another shot for a few years. And who turned out to be right? Old Radical Russ here. 2016, the next chance they've got to vote on legalization. 6 years, and who knows how many more arrests and problems occurred in that time. And I recall quite vividly in 2012, when the no on I-502 people in Washington told me that I should vote against legalization. Now, see, the problem with this legalization is that it came with a per se DUID standard. They're going to add in this thing with 5 nanograms of active THC in the blood, and that'll be an automatic DUID, regardless of whether you're impaired or not. The no on I-502 people warned me. They said cops would merely replace the possession arrests with DUID arrests, and they'd be patrolling outside Seattle Hempfest, and it would be like, quote, shooting hippie fish in a barrel, end quote. So what happened? Well, alcohol DUIDs went down by 3,000, and drug DUIDs went down by about 300 in the first year of legalization in Washington. Now, they're all just drug DUIDs. We don't know whether those are marijuana, meth, what, but even if all 1,357 drug DUID arrests from 2013 were for marijuana, then those represent just 1/4 of how many marijuana arrests didn't happen, thanks to I-502. And I was also told by the no on I-502 people, oh, sure, possession of an ounce will be legal under I-502, but people with more than an ounce would still be criminals. Like they already were. And furthermore, if you don't buy your ounce from a licensed store, it'll be an illegal ounce and you'd be arrested. So what happened? Well, in Washington state, misdemeanor marijuana arrests declined from 5,531 to just 120. Now, that's not just the less than 1 ounce that was legalized. Those people, of course, weren't getting arrested anymore. That also includes the between 29 grams and 40 grams that is still a misdemeanor. 5,531 down to 120. Oh, and there were 0 arrests for possession of non-store marijuana, since the law doesn't distinguish where the marijuana came from, like I told them. But what about the felony arrests, like for growing? No on I-502 lamented the fact that there's no home growing allowed in Washington. And tell you the truth, I had a problem with that too. No home grow. And they figured, therefore, there'd be a massive increase in felony prosecutions because these illegal home growers would get busted. And I said, I don't know how that happens any worse than the felony prosecutions already, but I looked it up. And there's not a real precise way of determining this, but I looked through the Washington State Statistical Analysis Center and I found that Washington reported 10,672 drug crimes in 2012. And just 2,298 in 2013. 10,000 drug crimes to 2,000 drug crimes. Now, that is all drugs. That's all drugs at misdemeanor and felony level. But we know what the misdemeanor marijuana arrests are. So let's subtract out the 5,531 marijuana arrests from 2012, the misdemeanors, and the 120 misdemeanors from 2013, and that would leave us with 5,141 non-misdemeanor weed drug crimes. So like felony weed or felony misdemeanor other drugs. 5,000 in 2012, that number dropped to 2,178 in 2013. And again, we don't know of those remaining ones, how many of those are felony drugs, felony marijuana, and misdemeanor drugs, because they're all wrapped up together. But still, all drug crime arrests, all drugs, dropping by more than half, seems to suggest to me that even felony marijuana arrests dropped in 2013 in Washington. These massive drops in arrests under legalization are really no surprise, though, if you think it through. Cars and marijuana have existed long before legalization, and we never saw massive amounts of DUID arrests before. And when you legalize even an ounce, drug dogs that could discover your pound are retired. And the probable cause tools that cops use to bust grows, based on pot smell, pot sight, pot accessories, are no longer usable. I remember the No on 502 people warning me that if Washington State passed legalization without home grow, it would never grant that right to adults later, because the state wouldn't want any competition for its massively taxed recreational marijuana. Well, that's true still. There's still no home grow in Washington. But bills were filed last session to grant the right to home grow. And as our Oregon recreational marijuana becomes legal with home grow on July 1st, there's just going to be more and more pressure for the lawmakers in Olympia to follow suit. If you can't grow your own, the No on I-502 people cautioned, you'll be forced to buy marijuana that's taxed 25% at three levels, plus the state and local sales tax, and you'll be stuck with $600 ounces. The direct quote, by the way, that was another guy. $600 ounces. Well, to be fair, when the stores first opened, there were sales that were up to $25 a gram. And if you multiply that times 28.4 grams in an ounce, you get $710 an ounce, interestingly enough. But since last harvest, Washington's experienced a marijuana glut and a dramatic decrease in price. I recently purchased a half ounce of mid-grade marijuana, a half ounce, for $99 in Vancouver. It was 15% THC. And I've seen high-grade ounces, 20 to 25% THC, going for $250, tax included. That's a damn good price even on the black market. Finally, No on I-502 predicted that if legalization passed without home grow and with a per se DUID, well, it would set a precedent, and all the following legalization states would adopt it. Well, wrong again. Both Oregon and Alaska passed legalization in 2014 with home grow and without a per se DUID. And all the proposals likely to be on ballots in 2015 and 2016 don't follow Washington's lead either. In fact, it is more like Washington is now following Oregon's lead. The Washington legislature has proposed adding home grow, like Oregon, and reducing their taxes to just one tax of either 30% or 37% to compete with Oregon's 20%. Folks, it's simple. Legalization always trumps prohibition. Legalization is always better than a consumer's arrest or a patient's death. Don't ever let the legalization naysayers convince you to vote with the DEA, to vote with the drug czar, to vote with the state police, to vote with the local cops, to vote with the drug rehabs, to vote with the drug courts, and to vote with the prison guards that need you to remain a criminal in order to fund their businesses. Don't believe the hype. Legalization always trumps prohibition. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one here. Still battling my cold. We'll make it. Stay tuned for hour two. Coming up, we've got more highlights from the High Times Cannabis Cup in Northern California, plus Chuck Diesel calling in with some more great groovy music for our Groovin' Thursday. There will be no live show tomorrow, Friday. We're taking the day off in remembrance of Larry Kirk, one of our longtime marijuana activists who passed away last week. Funerals tomorrow morning. Memorial services happening tomorrow night. I'll also be at the Farmers Market at 5522 Southeast Foster tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m. with Portland Normal. For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you